Hey guys, we have a Sugar Rush Baby Ballroom, the comedy lineup. Do you want to know how it ends? Find out coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yay! Yes, I see what you did there, Rickon.
Who watches Riverdale?
I've seen from a few episodes.
See Archie's.
Oh,
come on!
I knew that,
but it's also sugar because Sugar Rush.
Right? Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense to me.
It makes sense. Yes, there's so many songs about sugar, though. Have you guys noticed that?
There's a lot of songs about food because people relate food to
love,
music,
to sugar. Okay, well, hey guys, welcome back. You are watching Netflix Picks. I'm Rick Hong, and next to me I have Ashley Chaney.
Hello, friends. Good to see you.
And on the other side, Steve Kaufman with two N's.
It is two N's, one F. You just confused me. I forgot my own name for a second.
And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, that happens to us all the time. Don't worry. You're not alone, Steve.
Well, we're staying in theme. We are talking about Sugar. The first thing that dropped this week for Netflix original film television is Sugar Rush. And Ashley Chaney has a very big sweet tooth, so she watched it. And how was it?
Sweet tooth and sweetheart, y'all. Come on. Oh, that's
boo!
Me. Aren't you glad we're back all together?
Boo! Right now?
Yes.
Why the boo?
I did, in fact, watch Sugar Rush this weekend. Did any of y'all watch Sugar Rush?
I didn't catch this one.
I'm telling you, I can't watch those shows because every time I watch those shows, I want to go have something that's on that show. That's why I let you watch it, tell me about it,
yeah.
Then I can forget about it.
You have to know that going into it, you're going to get the sugar cravings.
Yeah.
So Sugar Rush, this is season two of Sugar Rush, and it is, I did not watch season one. Sugar Rush is a baking show. A baking competition show, which we have all sort of, this has been done. It's nothing real original here. The premise of the show is that people are competing for, really they're competing for time. So there's three like competition segments within. The first episode, they do a like surprise, like something that looks like a baked, like for example, a cheeseburger, but it's actually made of cake. Mm-hmm. And then when you win a round, you get more time. Like the prize is winning time for the next competition.
Oh, that's kind of a cool idea.
So like that's maybe the only thing original happening in this show. Like, but listen, if you like baking or food programming, you'll love it. It's great. There's some extraordinary talent. I think that I'm always shocked. Same with singing competitions. I'm like, wow, how do they keep finding these talented people that can make?
So these are people that like stir fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can use tools and stuff, and they still get, like, you know, 3 hours of time or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, they make some extraordinary baked goods. I did have to stop in the middle of the show to go get a brownie.
And keep in mind, guys, today is National Ice Cream Day.
Oh,
that's
yay.
Dangerous.
Mm. There's one more thing I want to mention about this show, which is, first and foremost, it's a hour-long show, so it's kind of a time commitment for a baking show that's kind of all about time. And
I was thinking it's a half hour, but yeah.
It's an hour long, okay. So it's like you throw it on in the background. If you're like me and you're a big baker, I love to cook or bake to cooking or baking shows. Is that, am I alone here? Anybody
no,
in the chat
yeah,
help me
yeah,
out?
Yeah.
Like it's like,
yeah.
No, no, no. You have to drink wine when you cook and you have to watch food programming when you eat. I don't know. Mm. I'm a weirdo like that. But and then the other thing I wanted to mention, which we've talked about this before, and I've seen so much of it on Netflix, and it gives me hope, is that this show is hosted by a guy named Hunter March, who is he is from the Awesomeness Network, which is a digital network. So we're seeing a lot of digital hosts running shows on Netflix, and that brings me all the excitement and joy.
Yeah, that's when I say pass.
No, he's cool. He did a good job, but not a lot of names that you would recognize off the bat.
Well, yeah. Steve Kaufman, am I going to laugh? I mean, how is the comedy lineup?
The comedy lineup overall is very good. There were a couple standouts for me that I'm pulling it up right now.
And how many people are on the thing?
There's a lot.
There's a lot on this comedy lineup.
Six, yeah. And they all do 15 minutes.
Great.
Which is perfect. And they're all relatively unknown. Like, I'm fairly active in the comedy scene, and I had not heard of most of these folks. They shot it in Atlanta. The absolute standout for me has to be Taylor Tomlinson.
Okay.
Taylor Tomlinson.
Taylor Tomlinson, she's episode three. She's my absolute favorite of the six. Ian Carmel is also great. Spelled K-A-R-M-E-L.
I love Ian Carmel, dude.
And it's eight. I'm sorry. I said six. It's eight.
Caramel. Shut up.
Dude, I love Ian Carmel, man. Caramel's delicious.
Like, okay, by itself?
Did you actually think we were going to let that slide? Did you?
I don't know. I think things can slide sometimes, but it's very good. I like... It's like those young comedy specials where you would see up and coming comics. Like, that's what this is.
Like Last Man Standing?
But
without a judge.
Well, you mean Last Comic Standing. But I'm talking before Last Comic Standing, HBO would do like a young comic special and Jerry Seinfeld would get 6 minutes. And it was before Jerry Seinfeld got The Tonight Show. Jerry Seinfeld would just kind of get 6 minutes to do comedy, and then he'd get The Tonight Show, then he'd get Seinfeld, and then, like, that's how it goes. And, like, there's kind of, other than Last Comic Standing, which, realistically, the participants, like, the actual contestants in Last Comic Standing are already kind of names, that a show like this really gives an opportunity to young up-and-comers. Obviously, everyone's varied. Taylor Tomlinson is my standout of these eight.
Why?
Oh, she is just so funny. She.
What are her bits about? Like, politics?
Well, her bits are about herself. It's very personal and introspective. Like, she mentions up top that she claims she's not beautiful. Like, she's just like, I'm okay looking. Like, one of my favorite bits that she did was about, you can tell you weren't cool in high school or middle school if older people called you an old soul. That if you were an old soul, that meant they didn't have anything else nice to say about you. It's kind of like the equivalent to bless your heart. She was very, very funny. What?
Makes so much sense.
Oh, sorry.
That's interesting.
No, that's great. Taylor Tomlinson is someone to keep in mind, and if she becomes big, then we can say Steve Kaufman said it here first.
Perfect. Steve Kaufman also gave us some financial tips a while ago, so keep checking back on this show as the years go on. This will be a reference.
Amy Cassandra Martinez!
Baby Ballroom, is that anything like Dancing with the Stars?
Exactly the same. Yeah, they're all stars and they're all dancing with each other. No, I would say it's a mix of Mad Hot Ballroom, which was a really like small indie film, and Toddlers and Tiaras.
Interesting.
What, half hour?
40 something?
Okay, yeah, so 40 almost an hour. Okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So it popped up on like new things to watch. I was like, this is great. I love me some dance content, but I started apparently from the first season. I just hit play and it just happened. And yeah, I realized I saw the beginning of the first episode. But they have two full seasons. The whole second season is new. They're each about 40-something minutes. The first season has 8 episodes, which if you think about it, is not that bad. And season 2 is not letting me know. But I figure it's about the same amount
of time.
Well,
would you go to a season 2? Would you finish season 1?
You know, okay, so here's a question for everyone. Like, there are certain kinds of shows that you will watch with a group of people, or like if you have a husband or whatever, you know, you guys watch those shows together. So you kind of have to have those shows that you'll put on when no one else is around. Not as a guilty pleasure, but just because it's like, oh, okay, this is something that I can watch that he won't want to watch, if that makes sense, you know?
That makes complete sense. As someone who has zero interest in Baby Ballroom.
I have zero interest in Toddlers and Tiaras, so that's great.
So this is one of those where you're like, yeah, let me put this on. Because these kids, I'm telling you guys, they're so freaking talented. Yes, the parents can be like momagers or dadagers, but the kids are doing well. Like, they have talent, and it's fun to watch them master amazing choreography at such a young age. And I'm just like, wow, what did I do my whole life? Like, here I am. But it's fun to watch, and they really do compete. Like, I saw the pilot, and yeah. It's fun.
Does it feel like, what is it, TLC that does those other dance moms? Does it feel like it's trying to
dance
be dramatic
moms
like that?
I wouldn't say as dramatic.
That chick went
to
jail.
Abby Miller. Yeah, it reminds me, so if you guys have never seen Mad Hot Ballroom, this is what it reminds me more of. It's a movie. The movie is about these fifth graders in New York, and they live in like an underprivileged area, and they have this time set aside for their school time where they get to practice ballroom dancing. So they become very, very into it. Baby Ballroom, they're way more advanced, but that's what it feels like. It's way more centered on the kids, not so much about drama that parents have, whatever. No, it's about the kids and their talent, and I really appreciate that because that could easily just go south.
Well, the interesting thing, too, about a show like this, it's very much where we probably got, like, the Huff, you know, Julianne Huff and Derek Huff.
Yeah, in that's terms exactly of, like, how this they was, started.
Yeah, Mark Ballas, like, all those stars that you guys see on Dancing with the Stars, or at least the dancers, choreographers, they probably started off doing stuff like this.
Well,
so
it's fun, too, because, I mean, the dance community has just grown so much. I mean, you have So You Think You Can Dance, you have World of Dance, which a lot of ballroom dancers have been competing in. You know, this is now the second season. And yeah, I mean, it's nice. And I think for us to be able to see where young dancers start and to see where they can go, you know, not on Netflix. Netflix, get on that. but, you know, we can see all of that. It's nice. And I really like it.
Okay.
So I would recommend, even if you're not a big ballroom fan, okay. Steve.
I'm waiting on Dancing with the Toddlers. Thanks.
Well, here is a big no from me again when it comes to a next Netflix original film. Just like I said no to How It Ends dropped. This thing stars Theo James from the Divergent movies, Forrest Whitaker, which is another draw, Cat Graham from Vampire Diaries. I was like, great, okay, cool. And you really don't care or want to know how it ends because it's so predictable. It's so bad. It's about 2 hours. I wish it was about not even 10 minutes.
Ooh.
And I compare it to Cargo.
Okay.
Yeah. This guy is with his father-in-law, who's Forrest Whitaker. Post-apocalyptic stuff starts happening. They need to get to Cat Graham, the daughter. So then they go on the journey, and you know, like they've got the predictable like obstacles that come in the way. And that's what makes it kind of bad. And it's very much just like the picture looks really cool. Theo James,
great cast. I mean, I watched the first like 5 minutes for Theo James, and I went.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's a really good actor. And
yes, he's a very good actor.
And hence why I wanted to watch this. And I was like very, 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 very disappointed. Just like with Tao, where Tao had, I mean, I guess the voice of Gary Oldman, Ed Skrine, you know, soon to be star. And same thing with Micah Monroe, who's been in some movies too. So
I think it's a funny title for a movie that you just wanted to end.
Like, yeah.
You just don't care how it ends.
Who knows? We won't make it all the way to the end.
I'm looking at the stills right now. It looks unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. So Netflix series do really well. Netflix original film.
Yeah, we haven't seen a great one yet.
Well, Ashley, it's because I told you a few weeks ago when you weren't here that you should be watching Set It Up, but you haven't done that yet.
No, I don't want to watch exactly. Set It Up is like way too close to real life for me.
She's
going to
be watching it soon because that's probably the best Netflix original film that's been done in the past year that we've been covering this.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But, okay, well, these ladies can these ladies can debate that, but in the meantime, Ashley's got a little message.
Yes, I sure do. All of you AfterBuzzers that are either listening to us or watching us right now, thank you so much for tuning in. But as you know, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows and Netflix programming. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder than we do to serve television fans. But we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. We have quite a few. So by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. Win-win. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They are totally optional. You can turn them off. So hit that subscribe button right now, wherever it is on your screen, wherever we're pointing. Or if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe, and let us know what you like, what we're doing. Give us 5 stars if you're on iTunes. Let us know that you did so in the comments so that we can give you a shout-out live on air, and we will thank you right here and let you know that we are listening and hear you guys. But for now, thank you so much for being the best fans out there and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yay!
Gracias, gracias. So, okay, so maybe Netflix original film, television is doing really well, actually. But non-Netflix releases, film and television. Amy Cassandra Martinez, you just watched All the Queen's Horses?
All the Queen's
Horses. Is this like a Humpty Dumpty movie?
What?
You know, Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall or whatever, and all the queens...
I am confused.
All the queen's horses, but, you know? Like, they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
I get it now. No.
This looks...
Oh, boy, guys.
This looks super serious for your pun, sir.
I am so sorry, guys. No, it's not. It's actually really intense. So, it's a docu kind of like... Not series, because it's an hour and 10 minutes. So, it's a documentary kind of a thing. Showing you guys, how do I explain this? Because I was so stunned. I clicked on it, one, because of the title, two, because of the pretty picture that they showed on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But it's about this woman that basically stole a whole ton of money from a small little town. Awesome. And how she did it over 20 years. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's...
I love it. I love it already.
Actually, that sounds super interesting.
But here's the thing. They show you kind of how she did it. And I'm like, we shouldn't do that. Thanks, guys, but don't. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's not one of the best documentaries.
Great premise, right?
No, yeah, it's a really great premise. When I say it's not one of the best, I mean, I'm comparing it to like
The Staircase or How to Make a Murder.
Icarus.
How to Make a Murder. Yeah. Is that what it's called, really? How to Make a Murder?
Something like that. Or
Making a Murder. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, it's not as good as that one. But obviously, it's a movie, so they have to get everything in an hour and 10 minutes. But for everything that it does share with you, you're just stunned. And I say watch it, not for the pro tips. Try to ignore that part, because that did concern me. Why were they doing that? I don't know. But yeah, very outside of my comfort zone as well.
Yeah. If they're sharing like how she did it, they must have already figured out a security way to prevent her.
I like the way you think.
Methods from happening.
Yeah. So it was a nice watch. I kind of had to dig for this one, but it's not a hidden gem.
Yeah, Steve Kaufman, I'm a little curious because you like the USA Network because one of your favorites is Mr. Robot. Something else that's on the USA Network that's gone to Netflix
The first season of the show has gone to Netflix.
The Sinner, which is Jessica Biel's return to television after being in Seventh Heaven. And it's actually got picked up for a second season. How is season one?
Season one is incredible. And it was one of those things that I don't think I would have necessarily found if I wasn't already watching the USA Network.
Because on my percentage, it said 98% match.
Let's see.
Do you know what yours was?
Also 98%.
Okay. Well, now I want to see how much it is on
it. And it's unrated. It's unrated on Netflix, so I should probably check it out because obviously it was on the USA Network when I watched it a year ago. And it's this incredibly long story. It's this incredibly long story where a woman who seems to have just a normal, almost Stepford-y life just hauls off and kills a dude at the beach.
Yeah.
This is the inciting incident. I'm not giving anything away. And she doesn't know why. She doesn't explain why. She's like, I did that. And it shows, I love a good story when nobody does what they're expected to do. Because they spend most of like the first couple episodes where she's just like,
How far did you make it? So far.
I've seen the whole thing. I watched it on the USA Network.
Oh, it's in your okay.
I've revisited it to talk
but
about
I got
it.
You.
And
right.
Season two is with Carrie Coon, who is like probably one of the best, actors, the gender neutral term actor, on any screen currently.
Is season two on USA right now?
Season two is going to be on USA in, I think, like the next 10 or 15 days.
So they take a while then to drop to Netflix from USA?
Yeah. Okay. I think if anything, they dropped this
to front load the
Emmy consideration, but Emmy buzz.
There's a window, yeah.
And whatchamacallit, and promotion for season two. That if people find this on Netflix in season one before season two drops,
they're more inclined, yeah.
That we can actually get more viewers.
That's a good strategy from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see, someone should really delve into this, to see how they come up with the percentage match, because I also have 98.
I'm 96 for The Sinner.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And my TV platform doesn't show me my matches, which is why I had to open it up in the app to get my percentage. Do your TV, your desktop?
Mine does.
It depends on what you have. Like if you have the Apple TV, if you have the Fire Stick, if you have the Roku player, that's kind
Xbox
of how it's...
Xbox One. So my Roku doesn't show me.
But, yeah, because I saw that Steve was going to watch it. I decided to look. It said 98%. The problem is, and the reason I didn't do it yet, is because it's not a Netflix show, but I just finished episode one of Sharp Objects, which I didn't know what to think of it. However, if you guys don't, AfterBuzz TV Dramas does cover the after show for Sharp Objects, so you can always go there and watch to get everybody's thoughts on it. So
Sharp Objects, not on Netflix, just a great show.
It's on HBO. No, but it felt similar-ish, so I was like, I'm not really convinced on that one yet either. So like I said, let me hold off. But Ashley, you also revisit our hidden gem you think is Mamma Mia?
Well, would I call it a hidden gem? Let's talk.
It's super hidden.
Here's the deal. Mamma Mia 2 is coming out in theaters. I've been. I know. Yeah. Listen, everybody, I'm with you. I've been bombarded with the ads for that. Every movie pass venture that I've gone out on, every movie that I've seen in the theaters, I'm like, geez, Mamma Mia 2. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back. And then I remembered, like, I hate musicals so bad. I hate them. I'm like, why are you singing? Just
but do you
sing.
Like ABBA?
No. What? I mean, like, it's fine. If ABBA's playing, fine. I would certainly not call myself a super fan. I don't dislike ABBA, but I'm not like, oh my God, I want to hear ABBA. Yeah. I mean, you know, cute, whatever, dancing songs. But I like this entire genre is lost on me. So, but if you're into it, I mean, I guess, you know, it's a classic and Meryl Streep and, you know,
I love your hesitation.
I can't, I mean, like, look, I can't recommend it because I hate it. I hate musicals so bad, but if you like the genre, you will love it.
Well, as someone that really does like musicals,
you don't like this one.
Why is it so bad?
That is the question. Okay. Pierce. Freaking!
I love
Brosnan.
I love the entire cast. I love the whole cast.
He's great, but he should never have been in this movie. Why does he sing?
And no Meryl Streep. Like, I want to hate Meryl.
Okay, whoa.
And I love Meryl. I love her.
Okay, so like Meryl is very talented. The woman can sing, but the role and the songs and the whole everything, I just don't like it.
It's just
everything is cringy, and it gives musicals a bad name.
Well, it's crazy because this thing was a big hit on Broadway. Yes. It has this. It has like the most nominated woman of all time, Meryl Streep, in it. They're doing a sequel, which is what prompted me to maybe watch it. But then,
exactly.
I was supposed to go to a screening of Mamma Mia 2 or the prequel, whatever it was called, and that didn't happen. That's not happening now. So I was like, I don't want to see this because I saw a production of it. I was like, whatever. And I've never always heard consistently good things about this original Mamma Mia. Therefore, instead, what I did is over the heat index, LA's been really, really, really hot, but Netflix Film on Twitter has been recommending movies. Something they recommended. Steve Kaufman watched it. I forgot about it. So I popped on Paddington.
Paddington's great.
Oh, I love Paddington so much.
It's excellent.
So the funny thing about Paddington is I kind of get it. It's done by the same production company that does the Harry Potter series.
Oh,
I can very much feel that energy. I'm not a big Harry Potter guy. So what it did was, but I know that Paddington 2 has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Therefore, I need to watch Paddington 1. But what it did was I started watching it, kind of got it. I'll probably go back to it. So come back and I'll revisit it again. I went on to the BFG.
Oh, BFG.
Which was read to me, you know, like 10 years ago when I was a kid in grade school.
10 years,
And
we'll let you go with that one.
yeah. But it's Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
And it's actually not one of his better movies. Like, so Paddington was like a 63%. I think BFG was like a 69% match for me for the stuff that I watch. And BFG, is a little long. It's 2 hours, but he covers most of the story of the book faithfully. Steven Spielberg is why I watched it. And just like with The Lost World of Jurassic Park, I at least appreciate the filmmaking, the tricks that he does. The movie overall, but you know, I'll always sit there and say I've watched 99% of Steven Spielberg's movies.
If I was going to recommend a family movie between BFG and Paddington, I would hands down go Paddington.
I would just say a movie between those two. Paddington is just pure delight.
It's totally unexpected, pure too, delight. Because you're like, oh, this is going to be silly. It's really enjoyable. I've watched it a couple of times, actually. It's great.
It's got like Sally Hawkins from Shape of Water. It's got Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey. So like, I do want to finish it. I just kind of got distracted with the BFG and just kind of saying it's Spielberg, so let me keep going. And I have problems with Harry Potter, and it has that Harry Potter.
I have problems with you, Rick. Right. You said, we got it. You're not a big Harry Potter fan. Let's move on.
Okay, well, let's move on. We're going to go to news and something that was huge for Netflix over all HBO networks, cable. Steve Gottman, what do we got?
TV oh, boy. So, where is the thing I just pulled up? Emmy nominations. Netflix has a lot of Emmy nominations. I'm just going to count them on the list I pulled up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
lot of Emmy 17, nominations.
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
5 hours later, because we're so talented. We meaning Netflix, huh?
They got a lot of Emmy nominations.
They beat out everybody. Granted, Netflix also drops a lot of content. But here's something interesting.
for a guy that covers the after show. And if you weren't tuning in at 5 o'clock, we just talked with Mark Maron for an hour. So go on the Glow after show. You'll see that. Glow is nominated for 10 Emmys.
That's fantastic.
And here's something more interesting about Glow is that it's actually the third most watched Netflix series of all time. First, House of Cards. Second is The Crown. And then Glow in the 18 to 49 demographic.
Beat out Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's surprising.
Stranger Things.
Or Stranger Things. Orange is the New Black is just
number
longer.
Behind The Crown and House of Cards. Yeah. How crazy is that?
That's
crazy.
Amazing.
Did we get the total number?
I stopped.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Sorry, I pulled up an article assuming the number would be in the top of the article, and then it wasn't at the top, and I'm like, I can't count it all.
It is many, and plentiful.
Glow is nominated for, among other things, casting for a comedy series, which, A, that's awesome, that's a category. But B, I think that's probably...
Main title sequence. I mean, if you've ever seen the main title sequence of Glow, it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Cinematography, hairstyling, main title design.
I think stunt choreography.
Makeup. Stunt coordination, would Chavo Guerrero get that Emmy?
He would walk up there.
He's a part of that team. So pro wrestler Chavo Guerrero could win an Emmy for Glow.
Amazing.
And something fun for Amy Cassandra Martinez, one of her all-time favorite shows, just got a season 3. Queer Eye!
Yeah. I know!
And if you guys are tuning in an hour prior to us, we actually have a Queer Eye after show. Mm-hmm. So you guys can watch that as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for them. They're so excited. Jonathan Van Ness was actually nominated for 2 different things.
Both he was Emmys. Also nominated for Game of Thrones, correct? Uh-huh. A friend of mine is a producer on that, so I'm very excited for him.
Yay! Emmys for everyone.
And then, so, you know what's going to be awesome is that next week, we are going to be without a person on this panel. Just next week, which is freaking awesome.
What a great...
So, we're going to be minus Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Wrong week. It's me.
But why are we minus you next week?
You're minus me because I will be at San Diego Comic-Con.
Woo-hoo!
So, yeah, right now, everyone that's going is pretty much panicking on the inside. A lot of things have not been figured out. But everything will be fine come Wednesday, hopefully. but yeah, so make sure that you guys like follow me and follow AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk and Black Hollywood Live. There are a lot of interviews coming, a lot of Insta-storying, a lot of stuff going on. And I'm sure it's going to be really fun, eventful, lots of really cool movies. I'm so excited.
What, you're going to be covering the Predator, hopefully, and Glass?
Well, I can't make any promises for anything because it's like super, super secretive. But yes, there's panels that will be there. Predator, Glass, Halloween, Venom, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
The Demolition Man, Taco Bell.
Uh-huh.
Am I the only one excited
You're
about
the
this?
Only one excited.
And I'm not going. What is this?
Well, let's make it happen. but yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of shows as well.
Awesome. Okay. And then other Netflix news. So a show that got some Emmy nods is Ozark. Mm. And you guys are going to be, and the guy that's a part of that is Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. He just got a producing deal with Netflix. Yep. So we'll be seeing a lot more Jason Bateman's name other than Ozark and Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah, I like Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Ozark, I have a lot of expectations heading into season 2 of Ozark. I've said it before. I think it's on the level of Breaking Bad.
It's a good show. It's a great. It's a really, really good show. So, top 5 releases this week coming out. David Spade starring in Father of the Year. Disney's Bolt. Amazing Interiors. Kids show. Kids film. Duck Duck Goose. And The Dark Tourist.
All right.
Interesting.
Quite a little smattering there.
So I'll definitely be watching Father of the Year and telling you guys if it's my pick or not my pick next week.
I'm gonna let you take that one, Rick.
I can make a bold guess, sir. I feel like I've gathered your sensibilities. Make a bold guess how you're going to feel about Father of the Year.
But I like David Spade, so.
Yeah, but you also like Adam Sandler, and he's had some real...
Just the one.
It's hit or miss with both of them.
It's exactly.
But that doesn't mean we can't appreciate
Their movie, The Do-Over. I thought it was fine for a Netflix movie.
I actually enjoyed
Saturday
The Do-Over
afternoon.
Too. Yeah, The Do-Over was okay. Okay.
Amy, whatever.
Well, no, I mean, okay. That means it's dangerous, because it's like, oh, you're not actually going to want to watch it. Which is okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, well, someone who will be back in 2 weeks is Amy Cassandra Martinez. And where can everybody find you?
On all social media, at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Like I said before, follow us, subscribe to us. Yeah, everything. There's a lot that's going to be happening and a lot of really cool cosplays. Not going to say from whom.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. Some real quick shout-outs for the chat. Star Drew, 80% says Rick will hate it. Jay Becker is happy you're going to Comic-Con. Zias B. Lou loves Paddington and BFG. Yes. And Star Drew is also in the chat. Cool.
Awesome. Good deal.
Ashley, where are we going to find you?
Thanks, everybody that is tuned into the chat or listening to us on iTunes. If you want to keep this conversation with me going about what you're watching on Netflix or what you're eating, one of my favorite things to talk about, find me online across all social media at Ashley on Camera, and let's talk about it there.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-E-C-K-H-O-N-G. Same time, same place, 7 p.m. here, Pacific Standard Time.
Finger guns.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.